Mike.
Michelle, what the hell happened to Allison?
I'd like to begin by asking you a few questions about how this whole mess got started. Do you remember seeing him for the first time?
Yeah. You guys here on vacation?
Certainly are.
Welcome to the end of the world.
I don't know. And they're not going to be able to satisfy me, I'm afraid, with this. Either way, no matter what.
Michelle, I can't let you badmouth Sarah Treem like that.
Nothing personal, but you know that it's going around anyway that Ruth Wilson was killed off because she complained about a pay disparity with Dominic West, right?
McNulty wouldn't do that, Michelle.
He
would donate his salary to make it even back to Ruth Wilson.
She was in an interview, Showbiz 411 or something, where she was talking about the fact that he made more money than she did, and that it was a man versus woman thing. And it was brought up that he was had won certain accolades or whatever for doing The Wire and she hadn't or whatever, but she didn't like the pay difference and that he made more money than her. And so they just killed her
off.
Well,
it was also established in an interview with Sarah Treem that's why they killed Allison, because Ruth Wilson they didn't say because of salary, but that's probably why. But she just said that Ruth Wilson wanted out of the show.
Right. But there's only one season left. I mean, there's only one more season. It's been going on for 5 years, and there's one season? I don't know. They also said that all of her scenes were shot, or I read this somewhere, I don't remember where, but were shot at the beginning of this season. So she's been out of it for really the whole time already. She did all of her scenes and then left.
Well, so what?
That's how great the divide was. That's how much
she
wanted to be
gone. I don't blame Ruth Wilson if she's not getting paid. They all, maybe not Cole. Well, he's good too. I don't know. I don't blame her. She's not getting the same as Noah. She should get the same as him. Maybe by time Noah's in there more than her. Lately it seems like he is.
Well, and all last season was Noah and his.
Maybe that's got something to do with it. But, they should be pretty close in pay. Dominic West is probably a bigger actor than Ruth Wilson is as an actor. Better, bigger resume with The Wire. I don't know.
Right.
People are paid differently all the time for their skill sets and their tenure with things. But
well, she even went on to say, she said, I don't feel like I should be paid more. I just don't feel like he should be paid more than me.
Maybe. I don't blame her if she thinks that and she justifies that. I don't blame her for wanting out. But we were just talking in our other podcast, Michelle, about, which we do on Better Call Saul, how the writers make things. They build things like to perfect conclusions and reasonable endings and steps towards drama that lead to better drama coming down the line and more compelling reasons to keep watching and all that. All those good story building things.
Right.
And now they get rid of Allison because they can't keep Ruth Wilson happy, hired as an actor. That's how this show is written. So, she drowned. Bye, Ruth Wilson.
And she, look, the whole series.
No, you look.
The whole series is Allison and Noah. That is the affair. And of course, the ripple effects that it has, but that is the affair. Her character has honestly, for a long, long time, driven me crazy, okay? She is, like, portrayed as this victim. She's a victim, and I hate that. I hate this victim mentality, this wallowing kind of thing. some people see her as like this strong woman who's with, and I don't see that. I see her as an excuse maker and weak. And it's not how I see her, but it is what the series is based on. And I don't get how they can kill her off. And what I'm afraid is going to happen is they're going to use all of season 5, which we found out that they're renewing for the last season, as the who killed Allison. What happened to Allison? Much like season 2 was the who killed Scotty. And I really hope they don't do that, because that wasn't good about Scotty. And it's not going to be good about Allison if they do that. We see them even bring Jeffries back. And I'm just really hoping that's not the plan.
Well, they also just made Allison hopeful. Like, they had to know that Ruth Wilson wanted out, not just between episode 407 and 408. They knew it before they probably started writing the season. So they just made Allison super hopeful. She gets all this good advice from Helen, the couch scene with, like, just change the person you want to be and you can change your life. And that would have been a compelling track for Ruth Wilson / Allison.
Sure.
But no, all that, build all that up and like, oh no, she, you know what? You know what, Helen? I don't think I'm going to agree with that. No, I'm just going to kill myself. What the hell is that?
I don't know. And we have
to, by the way, spoiler alert. I don't know why you would ever listen to a podcast on any show before you watch the show and then get mad that you got spoiled on anything. But
oh, I know. I mean, how can you possibly talk about it without talking about it? Allison, we're not supposed to really believe she killed herself, right?
Well, that is a good point. We don't know that she killed herself. She is dead, though.
She is dead. But surely she did not kill herself. Surely she was not that fragile. And it seems like we've taken this series and we've, like, tried to touch upon every societal problem that we're having, like, current societal issue. Are we really going to go as far as to touch on suicide as well? Is this going to be something that the show tries to make an impact on?
No, you're right. You're right. That's a great point. All we know is she's dead. That's the implication, is she killed herself. But I don't think she killed herself. And I think we're going to find out that she probably didn't kill herself, actually. But so I don't think they'll go down that path to answer that.
But some of the people that have written about it completely believe it. And they talk, they're even going so far as to put, you know, she's struggled this whole time. She's been in this dark place so much. And then they put, like, the suicide prevention hotline number in the middle of their article. And I'm just like, I don't think that's what we're even going for here. But you never know. You never know with these writers.
Michelle, I have a choice for you, A or B. A, are we the biggest cynical assholes in doing this podcast where we just rip this writing so badly every week? Or B,
A.
Is the public, the general public, the stupidest group of people ever assembled?
It's definitely A. We're definitely terrible. We're terrible. I really like this show. I couldn't believe how much I did like it when it first came on. And now, even this episode, I'm so cynical.
But people are saying that in those forums that you're talking about. This is the greatest, best of best episode of the series. Most compelling. People are falling head over heels over themselves over this episode.
Yeah, I did not see this as some kind of... Okay. The show didn't even feel like an episode of The Affair to me at all. When have we ever had comedy in The Affair? We never have. Never. Never is the answer. It's not a comedy. And the first 40 minutes of this was a comedy. And it was actually pretty good. It was enjoyable to watch if it had stood on its own.
No, but it's not good. It's not. It doesn't fit at all. They're in this desperate, urgent search for Allison, and they take time off to like, oh, you know what? We're all three kind of tired. Let's just grab a hotel. Like, what happened? Where's Allison? We got to go find her. We got to help her.
Oh, I know. None of that made any
sense. Let's have a meal. Let's sit back and relaxedly have a meal. Let's watch TV. Let's wait for Anton to finish having sex with the waitress.
They tripped over themselves 100 times, and I'm hoping that some of it was good writing, but I'm afraid it was just error.
You know, Michelle, for all this stuff I'm ripping about the writer, you have to be super smart to be any kind of a commercially successful creator. Sarah Treem, sure. Hagai Levy.
Sure.
I don't know the math of Hagai Levy and Sarah Treem. Hagai Levy was the creator of In Treatment, and then Sarah Treem worked with him on In Treatment, and then they started this project. And then Hagai Levy left because after season two he wasn't happy with the project. So I don't know how much of this whole – because this was a genius concept. The Rashomon point of view interpretations of how an affair affects people and how an affair actually develops and what people see differently among themselves. That was genius for two seasons.
Absolutely.
But now it's hack. Now it is just pure blatant hack. It's not good. It's just scenes don't add up. Emotions of people are counter to what they should be thinking. But just silliness, like the comedy you're saying is like a bit of a relief. It's just, to me, it's stupidity.
Well, it just doesn't match any other. We've had what now? 40 something episodes, at least 50, you know, no, 40, almost 40. Anyway, a bunch of episodes, and we've never had any comedy. And then they attempted to answer some of the questions we had last week, which I appreciated because last week we discussed why Cole would have bothered to pick up Noah and Anton at all to go look for Allison. He'd have just called him. But then we find out that he picked him up because he wanted him to drive because he was too fatigued. And he was like an hour or so away from him when he called. So that answered that. And I like that. But then they didn't do it. They didn't follow through and it made no sense.
Well, they did have Noah drive the Jeep from
No, not there they didn't. They get in there and Cole's still driving.
No, they got their first stop. Noah was driving. I actually thought that too. Like, wait, Cole's driving and the whole point was he was going to get relief of driving. But the first stop into the night, Noah is driving. Cole's in the passenger seat.
I'm pretty sure that when they're first driving before their stop, Cole is driving. And if he's not, he's not sleeping. He drives off the road before Noah has him pull over.
Right.
It's just
one scene within a very close time of when they all three get in the Jeep, Noah is driving though. I was like that too. Exactly what you said. I'm like, what the hell? Then Noah isn't even driving. Cole's still driving. But he does drive sometime early in their trek from Milwaukee to Chicago.
And then Anton's driving.
Yep, Anton is driving.
And I don't even know that Anton has a driver's license. Anton was saying he never gets to drive. He doesn't have a car and all this kind of stuff. And then we see it. I don't know.
All right, well, part one, Michelle, is Cole delayed before they tell us it's Cole's part. The part one designation comes on a little bit later. But he's taking a quick bath and clothing change to go into the CPTLC. Well, I don't know what the acronym is, but that's the show that Ben invited Allison to, the conference.
Yeah, I tried to look it up. I couldn't find anything on it.
We could probably come up with something creative if we had a few minutes.
Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know.
CPTLC. Can this possibly turn... No, forget it. Anyway, he's trying to be... foofy romantic with Allison, so he has some flowers, and she's not checked in yet, Michelle, and it's already day three, so there's something suspicious going on there.
Absolutely.
He calls Allison, can't reach her, calls Athena, and finds out that she hasn't heard from Allison for 3 days.
Yep.
And we learn that he's in Milwaukee, which is 90 minutes from Chicago, so that's putting him in the zone of Noah and Anton.
Yeah.
And he goes into the conference and sees Ben and says, Ben says, what are you doing here? And
didn't you think Ben looked suspicious?
Well, he looks surprised. I mean, you'd be surprised too.
Well, obviously, but I thought he looked weird.
They're making him look weird, though.
Yeah.
They're making, I don't know what happened to Allison. You know what, Michelle? I don't really even care. I started watching the show because of the Kurosawa affair, not the mystery of crimes.
Right.
I didn't care about Scotty that much. I cared about the feelings of people in relationships and the point of view part of it. So I don't give a damn what happened to Allison, really, to tell you the truth.
Well, I care, but I can't imagine that they're going to be able to pull out anything that's going to sit well with me at this point.
They're so clumsy, though, that they're obviously making Ben look suspicious, but looking guilty, like you said.
Well, but he lies to Cole here.
Yeah, I told her it's over. I told her I was married. And Cole then doing that gives the feigned disappointment, the fake out of disappointment.
Oh, right.
Have you ever experienced this in your life, Michelle?
Of course.
Where, I'm thinking of like women that have told me like, I just found out my fiance is such a jerk, or my husband's acting like such a, it's kind of a come on. It's a feminine way, because I'm masculine and I'm hetero. I'm putting it in my gender version, but I think it's a way of expressing interest in the opposite sex. Like my boyfriend is just such a jerk. It's a kind of a way of introducing availability to the person you're talking to.
But, yeah, I can see that. It could definitely be done that way.
But Cole feigns disappointment, like, oh, shit, that's too bad. But you can tell he's happy, right? Because so when somebody tells you that as a guy dating, like, oh, a girl tells you, oh, my fiance is just not – he's being such a jerk to me. If you're interested in her, it's like promising to you, not disappointment.
Right. It just didn't work out. And Cole tries to be sad for him, but we know he's not.
So – anyway,
but Ben had lied to him. Ben told him that he broke it off with her, or that she broke it off with him, and then she said she was going to L.A. And we know that's a lie, because Allison told Helen that she hadn't spoken to Ben about it yet. And so Ben, they did not have this conversation before she went to L.A. So why would he say that? He would have had to have seen her after she got back.
So is this a subtle clue, Michelle, or is this heavy-handed make Ben look guilty?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if it's that. I don't know if it's just the fact that he didn't want to tell him because of what we find out later went on with Ben, or if he, I mean, there's no reason for him to lie and say it like that.
And the reason it doesn't work is that we don't trust the writers.
Exactly.
Because they've done this before. Like, they just make somebody clumsy.
Right. That's exactly what I was saying. I mean, the lie could mean something, or it could mean absolutely nothing.
Right. It's manipulative to make Ben look guilty of suspicious of something.
Right.
All right. So Noah calls Cole, and he tells her she was in L.A. and then went home. And he's stuck in Chicago.
Right.
And Cole says, Chicago, that's pretty damn close. I'm in Milwaukee. And asks him to drive, so they decide to get together.
Yeah, and he's actually going to have to go right through there anyway. So it's really not out of his way. So I'm glad they at least showed us that.
It's still ridiculously coincidental.
Right.
That the time that they make phone connections is while he's in the next city closest to Chicago.
Right, trying to get a rental car that he's not going to be able to get because all the flights had been canceled. Right.
Because they missed their connection.
Right.
So Cole drives to O'Hare. We catch up where we left off last time with the three amigos meeting up at O'Hare.
Yep.
And they drive into the night, and Louisa calls Cole, and Cole just says, oh shit, it's Louisa calling, or thinks that when he sees the phone.
Mm-hmm.
He reluctantly picks it up and says, I'm fine. How's Joni? I'm on my way home soon. He tells her he's looking for Allison and can't get into us right now. We didn't see much of Cole explaining any of this to Louisa, did we, ever?
No. No, he hasn't.
He's just on a walkabout, mate.
Right. He's been on the walkabout. He kind of insinuates that she should know about Allison, being missing, but we haven't seen anything about that at all.
So this is the first time that he says anything about him being concerned and actually in on the search for Allison.
Well, it's the first time, as far as we know, that Louisa knows anything about Allison missing. Remember, Athena doesn't even know until Cole brings it up.
Right. So apparently Louisa's mad because Cole angrily or kind of frustratingly says, I can't get into us right now. Like, you could tell Louisa would be, understandingly be upset. Like, are you coming home or are you going to look for your ex-wife?
Well, which says everything anyway, right? If you're on the phone with somebody and he's been on a walkabout to find himself, to be able to come back home and love you, and you want to have a conversation, how are you feeling? And he says, I just don't want to talk about this right now. Can we talk about this later? It doesn't bode well for the relationship.
So Louisa puts Joni on the phone. Like, I took that as kind of aggressively. Like, go talk to your daughter then. Like, Cole doesn't want her to put Joni on. And I think Louisa puts her on like, well, fuck you. Talk to Joni then.
Right. Right. Talk to your daughter that I'm caring for while you're out finding yourself. Right.
And Cole lies about mommy being on a little trip and tells her to brush her teeth and go to bed.
I don't know that he deliberately lies.
Doesn't a dad want to talk to his 8-year-old daughter every chance he gets? Don't put her on the phone.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm going to cut him some slack with that because he didn't know what to tell her about Allison. Also, in the upcoming last week, we see Joni in the back of the car saying, "Where's mommy?" And Cole is up front saying, I wish I knew, honey, or something. And we haven't seen that scene anywhere. They had to have cut that scene, right?
Well, that could be any day in Allison's life, though. I wish I knew today, honey.
Okay, good point.
She could be off making pots in Vermont.
But they insinuated it was going to be about this, and then it wasn't. Because she's gone. He does know she's gone. Assumedly, right? I mean, she is dead. Because a lot of people were saying she's not actually dead.
No, Sarah Treem says she's dead.
Right.
She's dead, but we don't know if it's murder or suicide or whatever.
Right. Okay.
So they drive off. They get a call from Athena on speakerphone, apparently.
Yep.
She may be at her father's in East Hampton. He wants a kidney real bad.
Yeah.
So Cole asks why she's mentioning that only now. There's a reason, Athena said, there's a reason, but I don't want to talk about it right now. Apparently that's the rape. Why didn't you mention the father and the Hamptons before?
I would get the rape? Maybe, yeah.
What else could it be?
Nothing. Who knows? I don't know. That's what we're led to believe, so hopefully that's what it is.
So Noah tells Cole he got Allison some Xanax, and he turns to him and says, why didn't you tell me that before right now?
Right.
And they almost crash the Jeep. And Cole says, "Don't worry, I'm fine." And why did you almost crash the Jeep then, jackass?
Yeah, he's all the way across, like, you know, four lanes of traffic. He's, I'm fine.
So between this drive and the time Cole picked up the phone to talk to, when Cole picked up the phone to talk to Louisa, he got out of the passenger side. And you're right, he is driving now. So if you don't catch that little quick little thing, it makes it look like he's driving this whole time.
Yeah.
All right, Michelle. So, like a bunch of pussies, they're tired, so they go to a hotel. They're in an urgent. They're just found all this news that the father may be like strapping her down to saw off her kidney, and that she's got poisoned with Xanax. But they're tired, so they need to stop at a hotel.
All three of them.
Well,
all three of them.
How are they not going to be?
No, I'm saying all three of them are so tired. One of them can't be awake enough to drive for a little bit.
The whole point of picking the frigging guy up is you could tag team the driving.
Right. And then Cole obviously needs to sleep because he's like literally running across traffic. And Noah's like,
because if a hotel was an option, Cole would have just said, you know what? I'm tired. I'm getting a hotel tonight in Milwaukee. He needs to keep going. That's why he picks up frigging Noah to help him drive.
And what was the point of this hotel scene? This whole scene?
Nothing.
I mean, it was comical, and it was actually kind of funny. I mean, it was actually kind of funny in a couple places, but it had no bearing on our story.
Some things are funny and some things are stupid, but when stupid tries to be funny, it just doesn't work for me. Yeah. And this was stupid trying to be funny. So the clerk likes the girl clerk or girl whatever, daughter of the owner. She does everything. She's the waitress and the clerk.
Yeah.
She likes the looks of three handsome men dropping into her lap in the middle of like Podunk, whatever, Iowa or Ohio or wherever they are. No Actionville. And she makes instant assumptions about their gay family status.
Well, the dad does too, I think, because he looks out and he's like, no, we don't have anything for you.
Another subtle interjection by the creative Sarah Treem of gay families.
Yep. And how they're mistreated.
Very subtle.
Yep, subtle. Subtlety.
I liked how Cole brings the surfboard in to sleep with him.
You'd have to, though, wouldn't you?
That's yeah, that reminded me of my electric car trip, Michelle, when I was like on the road. I think I told you this story where I'm towing this car. It's in a little trailer behind my truck, and I go to the, and I'm tired, so I go to a hotel. It's like middle of the night, and I'm like, what the hell do I do with this? I can't lock it up or anything. It's like I got to just trust that no one's going to steal my trailer off my truck and drive away. And it is a dilemma. I mean, I don't blame Cole for bringing that in, because if you left it strapped to the roof, it might not be there in the morning.
Yeah, and how much sleep can you get leaving something valuable outside? So
I tied a string to my electric car trailer and to my toe, and I went to sleep in my room.
Smart.
No, I'm kidding.
Good move. No, I believe you did.
So then Cole calls Ben to check on Allison. And then they go to eat. They got plenty of time now that they're checked into their comfy hotel, so they go to eat.
Yeah. And yeah, no one's like, we're hungry. I mean, go eat then. Leave him alone, right? Let him sleep. Let somebody sleep.
This urgent Allison search has turned into the family vacation, the instant vacation.
Right.
Noah gives pickup advice to Anton. So they're, you know, here's their humor. Here's a little humor scene. He describes Cole as a moper. And yeah. Cole describes Noah as a fake promiser.
Well, yeah, Noah is being kind to Cole. He's teasing and being kind. Cole doesn't have that same feeling toward Noah at all.
Well, he's very worried about Allison, Michelle. That's all he can think about is rescuing Allison.
Yeah.
So they analyze the girl who's interested in them, the waitress slash clerk slash daughter.
Yeah, and both of them kind of make her into Allison in their mind.
Maybe. I mean, Noah's kind of right. She's a smart girl living in a podunk town and she's bored. And Anton texts her because he's already knocked down the phone number from her. He's one step ahead of these geniuses giving him like dating advice, people reading advice.
That was funny. I actually, the first time I watched it, I replayed it, that part where Noah tells Anton that he's, you know, stopped macking on her. And Anton's like, 1991 called on a landline and they want you to fax their slang back. I thought that was so funny. That was good. And I liked Anton in this. He was completely, there was no reason to have Anton here.
Yeah, but it's stupid trying to be funny. In some other world, it's funny. Here, it's just stupid to me.
Yeah. Well, it just doesn't, it doesn't go with the story, but I thought it was still a great line.
All right, so Cole and Noah end up together because they're sexiled. Noah's sexiled.
Mm-hmm.
He's been blocked out of his room because Anton's having sex with the girl. Michelle, this is another thing that has happened to me in real life. Almost happened to me. I was on a business trip. I was there first, 2 days before the other guy who's going to come and shows up to share my room because we're saving expenses.
Mm-hmm.
And the first night out, he goes and gets a hooker and comes to the door and knocks on the door like, hey, could you go down to the bar for like an hour? You know, I told him no way. Don't get the hell away from me. I was here first. You shouldn't even be doing this if we got here at the same time, much less trying to now take over the room for an hour. I wouldn't let him do it. So I blocked that from happening. But then we go through some gruesome sex scenes with Anton and this girl. Just gruesome. Why do we need to see this or hear this?
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't know that Janelle would be really happy with Noah not only allowing this, but almost encouraging, telling them how to get the girl. It just doesn't seem very parental.
What happened to all their problems? Anton worried about getting into Princeton. Cole worried about Allison. Noah, I guess, has no problems yet. But what, you know, this the writers sitting around the table thinking this is going to be really funny. People are going to love this. We're going to pretend they're a gay family and Anton's going to have sex. And what were they thinking?
You know, the only thing I can take from this, what I think they were trying to convey, what I read, I didn't get it, but what I read they were trying to convey to us was that everything's going along and it's happy for once and it's funny and everybody's kind of hanging out, and then it makes Allison's death so much more harsh, so much more stark. If you come up on like moody Cole alone, it's not going to have the same punch maybe as this lighthearted 40 minute of the episode banter and then Allison's death. I didn't get that. I didn't feel that the way they wanted me to feel it, but I think that's what they were trying to convey anyway. That's the only thing I could get out of it.
I think you're giving them too much credit. I think this is their chance to introduce the gay family and look, we can also be really humorous writers, and this show is so creative and funny in addition to being dramatic and serious. I think they thought this would be a fun, smart scene to put in here. But anyway, the dad, and by the way, why is the dad even there? Why he can't let his, how old is that girl? 18, 20, 21? She's not 15. I mean, is he following her around? Or are they just making so much noise that she's attracting the whole hotel's attention?
Who knows?
So he bursts in.
And how would he even know she was there?
That's what I mean. What's he doing following his daughter around every minute?
Well, yeah, I mean, he couldn't have been following her around every minute because evidently this has been going on for quite a while, according to Noah and Cole. And then suddenly he's there. How would he even know? I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense.
Because she's loud, I guess. I don't know.
I guess.
So the dad bursts in, and then all of a sudden the fake gayness to get out of it. Noah offers to leave, and they just leave, I guess. They leave right then and there. They don't even get their night's sleep.
No, they still haven't gotten any sleep, but they have wasted a few hours, so that's
They
good.
Drive into the night. So Cole asks Noah, why did Allison go to L.A.? And Noah says, I'm not sure. There's nothing left between us. It was all over a long time ago. Do you want to be with her again? And Cole doesn't answer. He just says, this state is endless.
Mm-hmm.
Driving in through the state was endless.
Yep.
All right, Michelle. So the next morning, Anton is now driving with heavy metal. Another statement by the writers. Black people can listen to heavy metal music just like white people can listen to rap music.
Yep.
They're all the way in New Jersey because they're near Princeton. But Anton's not even excited. But Michelle, are we? I mean, who even cares about Princeton anymore?
Yeah, I mean, Princeton's like a distant memory. I mean, I've even forgotten why they're there.
Anton tells Cole that Noah is great. Great teacher, great friend, mentor, whatever. But they have to split up now because Cole wants to go visit Otter. The father.
Oh, Allison's Otter, father. Otter. Yeah, okay.
And Anton wants to stay and help Cole, so they decide to all three go to Montauk.
Yep.
All right, in Montauk.
Well, East Hampton.
Okay.
That's where Otter lives. He lives in East Hampton. And I looked that up, too. That is a 22-minute car ride from Montauk to East Hampton. And they showed Allison doing it on her bike.
Yeah, that was part of the math we didn't explain either last time. Like Chicago is what, 15, 12 hours to New York, but New York, it's still a long time from New York to Long Island. The end, you know, it's another couple hours. It's another 100 miles. It's a long way from Chicago to wherever they were going.
Yeah.
So Mrs. Yeah. Otter greets them, and they show the scene where I thought at first James was stealing blood from the children. Like he was getting like vampirish with those two kids, and their arms were piped.
You didn't think that.
Into that machine, and he was vampiring blood away from those kids.
No, that was dialysis. That was home dialysis.
Yeah, with the kids all daisy chain linked into the machine.
They were just.
He's using their kidneys, man. Those healthy young kidneys to clean his blood.
Oh my goodness.
Mrs. Otter collects all the cell phones before their meal of baby octopus, Michelle.
Oh my gosh. Okay. How ridiculous was that scene in every sense of the word? First of all, how much extra baby octopus do you actually make for lunch? That would be enough to feed 3 grown men. That's a lot of extra baby octopus. And then she like singles out Anton to say, perhaps you'd like a grilled cheese. I mean, really?
Well, why do they have to explain that it's octopus? And why do they have to explain that the octopus is baby octopus? Why can't they just be frickin' having lunch?
It's ridiculous. She can't insult Anton. And they want to insult Anton.
I guess.
And taking their cell phones. What would you do if somebody... I mean, they're on a quest to find Allison. They think Cole, especially, and even maybe Noah now, think something might have happened to her. And they're going to let somebody take their cell phone?
Yeah, Cole gets very pointed with Otter here later on in a minute or two, but he's got time to sit and have lunch with him. Like, he wouldn't be pointed with him, like, right at the door.
Right.
Anyway,
and
so...
Anton asked to take a shower?
Yeah.
They go there to find out about something, and Anton wants to take a shower? Did that make any sense?
Well, he's sweaty.
Okay.
Well, Otter asked them why they don't think she's just having another episode, like she's just another flaky episode for Allison. And Cole is surprised that they've spoken, and he gets kind of angry at Otter that he's judging Allison and rips him for being an absent father.
Cole but it's the same thing. It's another lie. This is another lie. He says that they got to know one another before she went to L.A., but they didn't. She left his house. We saw the whole interaction she had with him from the time she walked in the door to the time she walked out of the door. And then she left his house and essentially drove straight to the airport. She didn't even go back home and went to see Noah. So they did not have this conversation.
It's more
about
heavy-handedness to make him look suspicious.
Right.
So I'm telling you, it's Louisa, something with Louisa. Ben and Otter are suspicious now, so who is it? Ben or Otter? Ben or Otter? Ben or Otter? Otter or Ben? Otter or Ben? It's Louisa.
Mm-hmm. And you've said that from a long time ago when we were speculating if something happened to Alice or I'm losing my train of thought. Allison, you suspected it would be Louisa, and that was great. Ben's wife, you know? I mean, let's just get crazy. Helen. What if the last person we saw Allison with was Helen? I mean, this is, it's insane what they're trying to put in our minds with this.
Do you think Helen held her under the water and drowned her?
I think out of all the people, Helen would have probably at some point thought about it.
Is it drowned or drowned?
Did it think?
Mm-hmm. All right. Again, all this vacation mode. Among all the supposed urgency that they have, they're having lunch, they're talking about all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Otter rushes in and gives him the phone, and it's a stressful call from Athena, Michelle. Allison is dead. She drowned herself.
Yep.
They go to the morgue, and they meet a crisis. I don't know how morgues worked, so I guess this was new info to me. Somewhat interesting that they have crisis counselors at morgues that... She asked them who's the closest to the deceased, and it stumps them for a minute.
Yeah.
I don't know who is closest. And it's Cole, I guess, because he's the one hottest for Allison at the moment.
Okay.
I don't know any other reason why. I guess he was officially closest because he was the ex-husband.
But so was Noah.
Yeah, I guess so. Noah was probably the last ex-husband.
Maybe because he knew her longer.
Father of the baby, maybe. That makes Cole okay. Back in front.
Okay, yeah.
She asks who will identify the body, and Cole perks up, and it's going to be him. He asks to see her body and not just a photo. I didn't know they do that either, but that's probably what they do. They show photos and not, they don't roll the body out like they see you see in the movies all the time.
Yeah, I had no idea it was done like that, because every other show in the world shows them pulling out the stretcher and uncovering the person, and
they read the toe tag. Yep, that's her.
Yeah.
All right, slow motion walk to the morgue, very artsy fartsy slow motion photography walk through the morgue.
Yep.
And then Cole can't do it. He asks Noah to look, and Noah looks, and it's her. So they drive back, and on the way, they're going to meet Jeffries at the scene of the crime, Michelle, the East Jetty.
What is that?
A jetty?
Yeah.
It's like a breakwater. It's like a pile of rocks that they put out into the ocean to make a calm area behind it where boats can stop.
Okay. I wasn't sure. At first, I thought it was like a lighthouse, and then we got closer, and I realized that wasn't what it was. So, okay.
Well, it could be a lighthouse. It could be a lighthouse at the end of the jetty.
I don't think it was. It was something out there at the end, but anyway, I don't know.
A lighthouse needs land to be built on, so sometimes they build it out with a jetty out into the water. It breaks the waves from just being really strong all the way up to the beach. So the East Jetty is where they meet Jeffries. And Cole says, it was Ben. I know it. He killed her. And Noah says, no, it was suicide. And Cole says, well, they're wrong about that.
Noah's saying that he didn't see her, that Cole didn't see her in L.A., and that she was at the end of her rope. But how many times has Allison been at the end of her rope?
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
So at the jetty, apparently this all happened 2 days ago, where there, at the time of Allison's death, was poor visibility because of a storm, which adds to the crime-ishness of it.
Mm-hmm.
And also that there's no bike or car, that she didn't drive there. Jeffrey says she walked there.
Right.
And there was water in her lungs, so it's clear that she drowned.
Right.
But somebody holding you under the water would also put water in your lungs. And Noah reminds everybody that she looked beat up. And Jeffrey says that's explained by just being among the rocks, getting pounded. But can you get bruises after you're dead, Michelle?
No, not really, not in the same way, because bruises are blood vessels rupturing, you know, and so if your blood's pumping, it's going to pump the blood into the air. If your heart's beating, it's going to pump blood into that area. But if your heart's not beating, it doesn't work the same way. There is some differences to
it. And my blood is pumping. So Jeffrey says she's getting ready. Look, dudes, I've seen this all before. You just listen to me. She was getting ready. She left her phone and wallet in order, and it looks like it all checks out.
And who would know that? Ben would know that, because Ben works at a crisis center. And Ben would know that you leave this and you leave this. But then they even brought up the fact that she left, she did that bank account for Joni. But when Allison brought that up to Athena, she was saying, like y'all did for me when I was young, I want to get this money secured because I'm fixing to come into this large sum of money from the sale of the lobster roll. It wasn't anything sinister or telling. Some of the people writing about it were saying, oh, you know, that's we should have known she was planning it for a long time, because putting the money in the account for Joni. But, I mean, don't parents put money in accounts for kids?
No, they do. The writers cover their tracks by making it look plausible, like maybe Allison did know. I mean, we even talked about this. She set up an account knowing that she was going to kill herself so Joni would be taken care of.
Right.
So it's the writers covering their freaking tracks. Jeffrey says Ben has an alibi. Cole says, what about Ben? And Jeffrey says he has an alibi, checks out, but he doesn't say why it checks out.
Right.
Do you know why, Michelle? Did he not say?
Because Ben tells us later on.
Okay. So she wanted to live to be 35, and apparently she's 35 now.
Okay. Why didn't this come up before? Because Jeffrey's going, you know, back when I interviewed Miss Bailey back with your stuff, with your terrible stuff, then that's when she told me, if I can just make it to 35, I will have suffered long enough. I mean, and this is just now coming out.
It's coming up in the, they're paving their way for future episodes, coming up in the Nextons. Allison in the Nextons is talking about being 35.
Right. Then in the next one, she's talking about having said it. I mean, come on. They would have told us something like that, right? This is important information if she's going to have custody of Joni. Anyway, this is that's so frustrating to me that suddenly Jeffries has this memory from now, you know, what, 8 years ago, 6 years ago?
Well, all these, why didn't you tell me it's happened in this? Why didn't you tell me that you gave her the Xanax? Why didn't you tell me she was in New York?
Good point, LA? Yeah.
So Colin and Noah and Anton now are together, and Cole says she would not do this to Joni. And I guess he's going to take Anton to the train, and Noah's going to hang with him to keep him from acting criminal against Ben.
No, Anton goes with him, too.
No, but there was going to take Anton to the train to go to Princeton.
Well, they were going to take them both, and then Noah's like, no, we're going to see it through because I'm afraid you're going to kill Ben.
So they catch up with Ben. Ben looks really rough and just says, I'm so sorry, but Cole wants more details. And Ben says, we broke up a couple days ago. I don't have to tell you anything. Mm-hmm. And he looks at Noah, who the fuck are you? And he tells him they broke up in person at her apartment. She broke up with him, and then he went to an AA meeting. See, so Ben now looks plausible. Like, his excuse makes sense. So Cole says it took you 3 hours, and he says,
Rock.
I apologize for not telling her I was married. I didn't want to let her go. She said she couldn't do this anymore. She'd been hurt too many times. And then he went and got drunk for the first time in a year.
Right.
Took a cab to AA. And Cole says, what did you say that made her want to kill herself? And Ben says, no, what did you say that might have made this happen? The mess you left her. You want to know what happened to her? Go look in the mirror, pal.
Okay. And can we talk about that for just a minute? Because this is, again, Allison is the victim. She's the victim. Ben did lie to her, and she is a victim to that. She didn't know he was married, and whatever transpired with that is one thing. But Ben, then, talking about what Cole and Noah have done to Allison, what have Cole and Noah done to Allison? Cole pined after her for years and years and years. I mean, he may not have been the best husband or whatever, and he may have been emotionally distant when they lost their child, but the guy would do anything for her, even as much as having an affair on Louisa with her and professing his love for her. I don't think Allison was a victim of Cole, and I don't think Allison was a victim of Noah either. Noah left his family of, you know, 20-some-odd years and his children. He blew up his whole life for Allison. And, yeah, he wasn't the best husband. It's shocker. He wasn't the best husband to Helen. Why would he be the best husband to Allison? But he didn't victimize Allison. Allison had an affair with Cole, got pregnant, told Noah he was the father for 2 years. Noah stayed home and watched the baby while she went and did her thing. Cole gave her a job at the lobster roll and all that money and everything. He set her up financially. Tell me what these guys have done so terrible to Allison.
No, there's no hero in this epic drama. Not Cole. It's not Noah. It's not Allison. It's not Ben. There's nobody to root for.
Like, well, right.
Who do you want to win? You know, who do you want to shine at the end of this? It's impossible to pick anyone.
But they evidently, Allison has told Ben, or let on to Ben, that she's a victim of Cole and Noah. And I just want to know how.
Well,
because he's going,
to Ben,
I've known her 6 weeks. I didn't do it to her. You guys did it to her.
Yeah, they're all guilty of shit. I don't know, Michelle.
I just don't see her as a victim.
Well, she agreed to do all the things that happened to her.
Well, she agreed, and these men have fallen all over themselves for her. How long did Noah want her back? He took her to Block Island just, what, a couple years back, and he's like, doing everything he can. I really want to make a life with you. I'll move here. I'll do anything. No, she didn't want to do it because, I mean, it wouldn't have been in her best interest to get Joni, but she didn't want him. She didn't want him. She didn't want Cole. Well, no, she kind of did want Cole, but then Cole decided to go back to Louisa, but she's like, well, I'm here. I don't know.
Well, the blame goes on, Michelle, because Cole and Noah now fight while Anton's watching kind of amusedly. And Cole blames Noah now. Why didn't you do something? You had her in your hands and you let her go. Why?
Yeah.
And that was the end of part one, 56 minutes in. Part two is Noah, Michelle, 4 minutes of Noah here.
Yep.
He's at a restaurant with Anton. And he sees another family and another cute Allison slash waitress, and they're they're having lunch. Those Michelle, those Allison waitresses are a dime a dozen out there on Montauk.
Evidently, yeah. And cute and sweet and giving and caring, yeah.
Yeah, this waitress is more sensible. She thinks Anton's just Occam's razor. Like, you two guys are together. You're not a gay family necessarily. You're just friends. This waitress is way more sensible than the stupid waitress in the podunk town that they were in. But she just says, your friend, not, you know, Anton's his friend, not a gay son or relationship.
Well, they've already done that this episode.
But that was Cole's perspective, though. Do you think that had anything to do with it? Cole's perspective is like, everybody's gay and that's the way out. And in Noah's, it's just that Anton's just a friend.
No, they don't get that pass from me. It was just they had to make a social point.
What was the social point?
The social point was these people from these smaller towns are going to be prejudiced against homosexuals.
Okay, that's a good take. So Noah grieves, just cries, just sad. Everybody's saying how great an actor Old McNulty is here for that, but I guess it's good. I guess he's good.
Yeah, he did break down, and it would be painful to Noah. I'm going to give him that. And I even believe Cole's grief. I can see Cole face down on the pavement outside. I think last week when we were talking about the upcomings, I said they were outside Princeton when they fought, I thought, but they weren't. They were outside the morgue. And I can understand Cole's grief in this, the face down on the pavement kind of grief. This is the mother of Joni. It's the mother of Gabriel. It's his existence for, what, 15 years or more probably now, total. I get the grief.
So this is the end, Michelle. Life goes on. There's a million Allisons and Noahs out there. Million affairs.
Yep.
I mean, that's kind of compelling that the family at the restaurant is the Soloway family all over again.
Exactly.
That was somewhat powerful.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good. I'm going to give them that.
It just reminds you that the best part of this series was the first part, the seasons one and two, where we saw the title of the show, the affair part of it.
Yeah, I think season one particularly, I wasn't so fond of the whole Scotty mystery. And like I said at the beginning of this podcast, I really worry that we're going to have to relive that with Allison next season.
So the next on's Michelle. Allison recalling, promising herself to get to 35.
And if nothing's changed, I'll know I tried hard enough.
Yeah, if nothing had changed, if she had tried hard enough. Like, wondering if she tried hard enough.
Well, she said if she gets to 35 and everything's still the same, then she'll know that she tried as hard as she could for as long as she could, and then it's off the table, kind of.
Like 35 was enough to give it a shot?
Yeah. And if she couldn't change her life by 35, if she couldn't get over this grief or this sadness or depression, then she'll know that she did it long enough. That was like her personal goal, to make it that long. is how I took it.
And then she says, don't mess with my heart. I can't handle any more pain. Is that to Ben?
We can't tell. We can't tell who she's saying it to, but she says it. But we can't believe for a second that knowing this guy Ben for 6 weeks is going to cause this with her. Not after everything she's been through and come through. That's just nonsensical to me.
These scenes of Allison are all interspersed with scenes of her in this really rough surf.
Yeah.
At the beach. And then the final one is she says, my mom believes we have multiple lives. We keep coming back till we get it right.
Yep.
Almost like excusing death. Like, okay, this one didn't work out. I gave it my shot at 35. I'll just end this one and start the next one. Like an excuse almost.
They're definitely trying to lean us more toward the suicide thing. And that's just a social issue that I do not want to tackle with this show.
Well, it's a crime. It's a crime drama now. Like, who killed Scotty?
Yeah.
It's not an affair like Rashomon. I don't know. It's whacked. I'm Michelle. That was 408. 409 and 410. Are going to bring this whole thing to a close. And then we got
will
one
it,
more year.
Will it bring it to a close? Or will it just open the door to everything else? Who They're knows? Not known to end things at the end of a season.
Who knows?
Particularly knowing that it's already, you know, re-upped for next summer.
What do you think happened to what do you think happened to Michelle, Allison? What do you think happened to Allison, Michelle?
I think something underhanded happened to her. I do not think Allison, who struggled so hard last year to get Joni back and got her back and was living this life with this job that she really enjoyed and felt fulfilled in. I just don't think that she would just suddenly, because of Ben, kill herself.
And she wouldn't do it to Joni. I think Cole's right about that.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
We also get Sarah Treem kind of being cute and coy about it when the interviewer asked her, first question, is Allison really dead? And she just very directly says yes. But then the next question was like something about whether she was killed or suicide, and she's really coy and cute about it. So you know it's not probably a suicide.
Well, yeah, there's nothing to be coy and cute about a suicide. And I don't even like them, like, playing this. I just don't like this.
No, it's Sarah Treem being the head of this, as she's interpreting it, like, cool show that's cutting edge that everybody loves. And I've got everybody on the edge of their seat now, and you're all going to have to wait. So she's being coy about it.
It's like a real heavy-handed social commentary. And I'm just not fond of it at all.
Meanwhile, does Anton get into Princeton?
I think we'll see Anton if they show us. Who knows? We may not even ever see Anton again. But I think Anton could get into Princeton.
I was just kidding. I mean, how many cul-de-sacs have we gone down that we don't care about anymore?
Well, that's just it. You know, all of these side things, and I think we even mentioned that last week. And last week, even, I said, I'm starting to really like the Anton character, and I liked him even more this week. That's a great character. It doesn't fit with anything. It's thrown in, and it's haphazard, and it doesn't mesh in any way. It has no usefulness to our story, but I do like his character.
Yeah, but that makes me dismiss him.
Right, I know.
He could be the best. Why don't they have a super funny comedian on the show? That would be, he's a good comedian, but it's out of context. It doesn't mean anything.
Well, the whole first 40 minutes of this was out of context of anything we've ever seen. I don't know. I don't get it. And I felt kind of out of touch when I was reading all of these people, like you were saying all this, it was just the best series I've ever, or the best episode in the whole series. And I'm like, no, I didn't get that at all.
Yeah, I wonder how many people listen. They probably don't listen to us if they think it is a great show, because we just don't really, or I should speak for myself, I don't really like this show anymore. But a lot of people like our podcast and think that what we say is funny. So a lot of people must think what we think and yet keep watching the show.
Well, I think at this point, I mean, I hate to say we're hate watching it. I think we're more commitment watching it. This is not a show that I would make sure to tune into on a weekly basis. I would probably catch it up when there was nothing else on, but it's certainly just only because I'm invested in it only, but it's certainly not something that I anticipate gleefully for the show to air.
Yeah, so that's 408. Michelle, any final thoughts before we sign off before 409?
I'm thought out.
All right, so see you next week wherever we are.
Okay, we'll see you then.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.